bring the meeting to order. Appreciate everybody being here.
Hello.
First act, roll call, please.
Commissioner Sinapa.
Here.
Commissioner Geary.
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn.
Here.
Commissioner Taggart.
Here.
And Commissioner Christopher.
Here.
Supervisor Couch is excused.
I texted him. I don't know where he is. So, unexcused. I don't know. Okay, thank you. Approval of summary proceedings for last month. I've looked at them. They look pretty good to me.
I wasn't here, so
I'll
okay.
Make a motion to approve those.
Okay.
Time will second. Yep.
So, a motion second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Motion carried. Let's see. Consent agenda 0. Public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes, and also there's only 10 of us, but please put your phones or electronic devices on mute or off. First table, any comments? Sade? Okay. You can just give us a minute if you want.
Sunday, Martin. Thank you so far from the police rescue. So I know it's kind of hard because, you know, we have so much out there, and the meetings have been wonderful, by the way, so far. Like, we've really enjoyed the more communication, that kind of stuff. So I'm hoping to see more people, you know, start coming so we're able to talk some more about the solutions and that kind of deal. But I had somebody gave me this. They did want me to submit this. They came across the Pitbull readers page for here in Kern County, and there was just a lot of stuff going on. One of the things that we're coming on is that, you know, readers are not being responsible. So, you know, we have the AKC type, you know, readers that are more responsible than the backyard readers. So they're charging, you know, thousands of dollars for dogs, and they're getting sick, they're dying, they're, you know, infested with worms. They're just being, you know, just bred in the backyards and like horrible conditions. So that's something else I kind of think that needs to be brought to attention, is just the condition that these puppies are being given out to. People are paying big money for this. So, you know, my question also is, how much are they paying in taxes for this kind of stuff? I mean, this is income. You know, yeah, exactly. There is none. So that's something else that's kind of a big deal to me. I know that for me, if I'm running, you know, I have a business, I'm a realtor, and I have to pay taxes for selling houses in the city, and that's an extra tax. So I think that's something that should possibly be talked about in the future. But I did want to send this to you guys, and it is gross. So have fun with this.
Thank you. People comment? Okay, good. Anybody else from the first table?
Hi, so Jean Rager.
I'm sorry.
Jean Rager.
And your zip code?
14.
Okay.
I'm a recent volunteer of Redemption Ranch Rescue, and I've been wanting to get to this meeting. I mean, I've listened to some of these meetings. It's just the same thing over and over again. We have the same concerns. Also, of trying to get dogs, the population of dogs here transported to places where there's low populations. So that struggle. And it's just sad to see, and I don't know how all these guys have done it for so long, dealing with compassion fatigue, because it just tugs at my heart. And I knew once I got up here that I'd be, you know. But, so yeah, I'm here to try to also put another face to all of the thousands of people, and just standing out there, we saw 3 dogs running down the street. We can't keep up. They can't keep up with all of this.
True enough.
So, thank you.
Keep coming. Thank you very much. Second table. All right. Michelle. A mask warm.
Michelle Malengos, 93311. I want to try to touch on a bunch of stuff in 2 minutes. Talking about reading, I mean, I haven't really discussed this in a while, and I tried to avoid the internet that is of Bakersfield dog situations, but I came across someone on a connected group asking for a dog to breed their German Shepherd with, right? They want to breed their dog, and they're looking for ladies or men, male dogs, whatever. And it's just the litany of people who are commenting and tagging. I have a dog, there's a picture of my dog, DM me, tagging this person who doesn't. And I know shepherds are one of the top of our shelter lists. And it's just so frustrating because it made me start thinking about breeding regulations and how we're in a general law county and we don't have the autonomy of creating our own laws, whatever. But it does make me think of all the other general law counties that do have breeding regulations, like legit ones. Like, if you're going to breed, you must have a permit. And it's hard for me to think that they're all doing it wrong. They all surpassed some kind of loophole that no one knows about, and we're now questioning whether the legalities of it. And I'm wondering, how do we find out how they did it? Like, is there someone I call? Is there a legit person I call? Because the internet's only going to tell me so much. And I still have another minute, and I have another thing to say, so let me see if I can get it. Oh, yeah. Another concern is, you know, we talk about our Kern County No Kill and how close we are, you know, to the 90% save rate. And I'm concerned, you were discussing, Nick, you know, how many animal control officers you have and how many would be appropriate for how large our county is and how far away we are from actually having that. And it made me start thinking, like, if we're so close to just simply our 90%, what would be the incentive for any supervisor to fulfill all of these empty spots if we're doing that on nothing? And then that made me start thinking about that the shelter numbers are a reflection of only such a little amount. And I really, for anyone who doesn't really understand what's going on the street, because I know I've heard it here before, like, if they don't come through the shelter, we don't know what's really happening technically, right? Because we're a numbers-based organization here. But if you throw it to, like, humans, the homeless situation, we all know it's a problem. And we all know it's a problem because we see it. No one's saying it's a problem because we're looking at the shelter, the homeless shelter statistics. So I just want you to, you know, compare that. We know it's there. And I wish that there was more we could do than just look at numbers that are coming to the shelters. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Anybody else from table two? Nobody? Okay. Table three, Danny? Anyone? Danny, what do you know?
Daniel Literal, 93308. Real quick question. How much profanity is allowed? As long as it's light and not too severe. A lot of times we come to these meetings and, you know, there's a lot of bad things happening or whatever, but I just want you to know some good news. I'm sure you're all aware of this a couple days ago, that if any of you decide to, you know, take your dog for a drag this weekend, that's okay. It's okay if you feel like, you know, dragging your dog behind a scooter, motorcycle, car, or whatever. You know, that's okay. And if anybody says anything, you just say, hey, you know what? Poop happens. It was an accident. So obviously I'm being a little bit sarcastic here, but I thought that it might be an opportunity to maybe kind of like a refresher as far as situations like this go. My question, I should know the answer to, I don't. But, you know, this incident I'm talking about, that happened, it was Bakersfield jurisdiction, okay? Would the legal process have been any different if that had happened in county jurisdiction? Or does it still go to the same courthouse and the same DA and all that stuff?
Same courthouse, same DA.
Okay, all right, so I guess my question would be, and I guess this is kind of for Nick, and Nick, you don't have to answer on the spot if you want to wait until you make your comments. If there are other examples of similar incidents regarding cruelty or neglect in the past in which maybe there was a very light punishment or no punishment at all. Also advice moving forward on, you know, reporting similar incidents and situations of abuse and neglect, what evidence is needed and what action would be taken in situations like that. because you know, I think it's important that, you know, everybody, whether you're a member of the public or rescue, you come across these situations or you see situations, and you know, situations where, you know, things are actually caught on video. And then animal control and the authorities try to do their part to hold this person accountable, and at the end of the day, charges are dropped, which is, I think it's frustrating for me, and I think it's frustrating for a lot of people here. So that's all I got. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Jay.
If I could just make a comment on that. You know, my hope is that a lot of times these meetings are to find out, not only to point out, you know, problems in the community that pertain to animals, but problems with the department and how Animal Services deals with animals, and how we enforce those the laws that exist, and but also how you guys, how the community can be a part of the solution. And my only recommendation, you know, like Deputy County Counsel Olson,
yes.
Chrissy, that's Chrissy right there, stated, whether it's county or city, it gets adjudicated by the, it gets prosecuted by the same group of folks, and those cases are adjudicated by, you know, at the end of the day, the district attorney is the one that's in charge of all of those cases. She doesn't prosecute them, but she's the district attorney, and she's an elected official, you know. So, you know, it's important that when you see signs around town, and you know that an election is happening, the district attorney is one of those, that you participate in those elections and try to get to a point where you can ask questions for candidates and ask them how they feel about animal cruelty. Because, you know, I remember when the district attorney was campaigning, and I aside from myself, I don't remember many other politicians asking or bringing up how the district attorney saw animal cruelty or what priority she placed it on. So I don't know DA Zimmer. I don't talk to her. I don't know what her priorities are. But all I can tell you is that is an elected position, and taking part in all of local government is important, especially when there's an elected official who has great influence on prosecution of crimes that you all and I feel very passionate about. And you know, when those elected positions come up for a re-election, you know, that's got to be something that the voters take into consideration. And you know, I just think that's important to keep in mind that it's not beyond your control. It may be beyond my control how the DA handles animal cruelty, but it's not beyond yours.
No, I would agree to your point.
Who are you?
The problem with the system is...
Okay.
Bottom line, the problem with the system is that inherently it has the plea bargain. Okay? I mean, historically, that's what they do. They plea bargain. And I think what people are upset about in this particular thing is, I think people don't think they should have been plea bargaining. Because now that she, as I explained to some people that didn't know, they ordered her to do mental health counseling, and upon completion, then it's dismissed as prisoners of justice. You know? And I think that's what really bothers people. There's certain things that, you know, it shouldn't be that way. It's like, she committed a crime against an animal. Period. In my estimation, they had plenty of evidence to convict her without a plea bargain in that particular case, knowing the facts that I do. You know, so I think that's the frustrating part when it comes to the DAs and stuff like that, or the outcomes is, you know, really, you feel like, what's the point in reporting?
So,
when
Susan,
nothing's going to happen.
Susan, I agree with you to an extent. There's a whole host of problems in the judicial system,
right,
well beyond prosecution of animal cruelty, more so than my brain can even understand at any given time. But those decisions to offer a plea bargain, you know, that in my opinion, that all comes down to where a particular office prioritizes animal cruelty.
Agreed.
And if you pay attention to local politics, certain politicians, I'm not even talking about city or county, they have things that they're passionate about. And if you pay attention, I really shouldn't be saying this, the things that they're passionate about, things get done.
No, that's true. I agree with you.
So it's important to put people in office that support the things that you're passionate about. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes with the system that we work in, for good or for bad, if the majority of people don't feel the same way you do, then you're going to have somebody that's representing you that doesn't have the same priorities that you do. But it doesn't ever mean that you should be quiet and not express those opinions and those voices. There's a lot being done about the homeless because people were very vocal about it. And because, like somebody pointed out, I think Sunday pointed out, or maybe it was Michelle, that people see it. And not only people, but the politicians see it. And suddenly things get done. So that's just a long way of me saying that I agree with you, but at the end of the day, these are all elected officials and they should reflect your passions in order to sit in office, because otherwise it's going to be low on the totem pole. So just make sure that you're active and that you vote and that you engage the local politicians in conversations about the things that are important, including me, by the way. I'm not a politician, but...
Okay, Commissioner Sanaba, did you have a comment?
I wish we could give you a better answer here, but I don't even think this is like the proper form for addressing this. I was just going to ask Annie if you did reach out to Zimmer's office to see if they had any response or if there was like a reasoning behind why they went the route they did.
No, I did not reach out to the office directly. I did read a couple of the media reports, probably more than just the headlines, in regards to the pretrial program, in regards to her being a veteran and some services that were available to her.
Yeah.
My issue is that as far as the court of public opinion, she definitely paid the price. But as far as on paper, that what was caught on video and what was shown, she was not found guilty of a crime.
Right.
And was not punished for that. Yes, she did get counseling. And, I mean, in my opinion, that's good for her. She needs counseling. But it doesn't change the fact that she was, appeared to be, extremely neglectful at best in regards to the care of an animal. And I think that sort of behavior or decision making, there should be a consequence for that other than... going to a couple of classes.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. But I would say that you definitely should reach out to Zimmer's office and you know get them on record as to why they didn't decide to. And I would like to hear what you would have to say.
Yeah, there was
they would have to say just in general.
There was an interview not with the actual DA, but someone from the office in regards to the law in regards to this veterans program that was available. And it's my understanding in the interview that was posted that they follow the law in regards to that counseling that was available. So I don't know if basically the outcome that we wound up with was something that was kind of established some time ago when they entered into the agreement of this counseling session and the charges being put on hold. So I don't know, but maybe that's an answer that they would have more information on.
It's a hot topic, I know. We could talk about this all night. Is anybody else in Danny's room that wants to speak? No? Okay, come on up.
So I'm Leslie Nielsen, live in 93314, with Rad Rescuing Abandoned Dogs.
Carol Deckel, 93307.
Good, welcome.
So we just want to share a little bit about kind of what's happened since we were here last week. Last month was the first time that we attended, and so I know Cindy had kind of shared with us that it's important to let you know what we're up to, what we're doing, kind of what we're seeing out on the street, so that's what we wanted to kind of briefly cover. So since the last meeting, we saved 19 dogs and helped dogs and puppies. And just want to highlight a few of those situations to kind of let you know how we come across things or what the situation is. So most recently, one was a Rottweiler and kind of a lab pit mix that showed up at a business office, basically just wandering around off Edison Highway. And we had helped someone who works at that facility previously. So they reached out to us and said, we've got these two dogs, we need help, we don't know what to do with them, all those sorts of things. So obviously checked for chips and list them and all of that. And we now are holding them and we'll be finding rescues. Nobody's claimed them so far. So that's just one example where, and we do that a lot, where people will call us, you know, we've got this dog, we've got this situation, just because we've worked with them before, or they, you know, see our Facebook page or whatever. And there was another one kind of similar, which is Arvin Water District. We've been out there trying to help with dogs out in that area, and so they called us about the dog that had been dumped. A lot of the workers out there will feed the dogs or, you know, try to help when they can, so they called us about a dog out there. But we went and actually Cheryl went out and got the dog, which turned out to be a handful because it's actually in Malinois. And we didn't exactly realize what we were getting into because it's a very aggressive dog towards people that it doesn't know. Cheryl was the savior there, so the dog's great with Cheryl, but not so great with others. So anyway, we're trying to figure out, we're hoping to find a rescue for that dog that understands Malinois, the breed, so that, you know, hopefully the dog will be okay. So that's another example of, and some of the other situations were, there was a, you want to talk about yours, or do you want to talk about yours? Okay. A husky that was out in kind of no man's land in the county, which is a lot of the dogs that we find, and just had like part of her gums and teeth were, I don't know if she got into a fight or something happened, were just flapped out of the front of her mouth. And so we were able to get her to the vet and get that taken care of, which actually turned out, thankfully, not to be something really major. It wasn't a really costly thing. It actually was able to come off on its own. We didn't have to do sutures and all of that, which we were kind of thinking was probably what was going to happen. But anyway, so we got her through, and we actually got her into a rescue, and now she's in foster and doing great. So, you know, there's a lot of good things that happen out of bad things, but there's just so much out there. There's probably three times as many animals as this, and I didn't cover all of them, but one I would like to actually, sorry, I forgot, with Christy, who's with Fur Friends for Life, they had a Doberman that had showed up that was pregnant, and so they were trying to figure out, you know, some rescue to get her into, and she ended up having 9 puppies, and so we were able to help with that process of getting her into a rescue. She had the puppies, a little bit of complications where she wasn't nursing initially, and a little scary there, having to bottle feed for a little bit, but then she, her instincts kicked in, and everything like that, so.
Good job. Did you have anything to say? You've got a minute. Did you want to say a few things?
Sure. Cheryl, I need to introduce myself again. My mind actually just went blank. I did have a bunch of things I was going to say. I actually did get to go out and go beating today, which we do twice a week on the north side and then on the south side. It takes about 3 hours for each job. sometimes you see live dogs, sometimes you don't. Usually there is a lot of dogs, though. I managed today to see quite a few that had gotten hit by cars. So that's always a lot of fun. Not really, but, you know, I saw a German Shepherd off in the orchard. There was a German Shepherd in the road. And it's just everywhere. There's a lot of dogs everywhere. There was, on Facebook, I mean, I don't know if anybody follows any of the lost sites on Facebook, but if you're somebody that does rescue, you will get tagged to death, literally. And you're tagged, and you're tagged, and you're tagged, and you're tagged, and you're tagged. Because help. And I know that most of the posts will say, I've already called animal control. So it's kind of like, you know, I feel like in Kern County, especially where I live on the south end down there, you don't see police officers unless there's a murder or your truck stolen out of your driveway, and that's twice in our neighborhood.
Same in my neighborhood.
Yeah, so we don't have anybody patrolling because there just isn't any. Penny Tube Patrol, I guess, or something, I don't really know. Same thing with animal control. You've got a limited amount of officers that can go out, and so everybody needs help, and it's huge. So they made the numbers, like she was saying, on paper. That's probably doesn't even touch it, because there's so many animals that don't get picked up because the officers don't go out, because they're over here, and there's only two guys, and you know what I mean? And there's just dogs everywhere. And the accountability, I guess.
You can go on. I know you get 2 minutes each is a problem, but there's a lot of stories that people can talk about.
Can I have the name of your group again?
What was the name of the group?
It's RAD, RAD, Rescuing Abandoned Dogs.
That's right.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you for the comment. Next table. Terry or anybody back there?
This is the first time.
And if I can remind everybody to please turn their electronic devices to mute or off. Okay.
Yes, my name is Teresa Lonello, and I'm here because I'm really concerned about a lawn area. There are so many dogs there. And, you know, we had a rescue that came in, and they did 40 dogs on Saturday. We need more than just 40 to be fixed. There's dogs on the Wheat Patch Highway where people are just letting the dogs out, especially at night, and in the morning you find them on the road. Animal control needs to go to Lamont, knock on the doors, and see how many dogs they have, because they're breeding and breeding, and they're selling them. Just like she said, a lot of people are paying a lot of money for these dogs, and they're sick, and they don't have their vaccines. My niece just bought one, and he had parvo. I had to bring him over to my house and medicate him. He got well. Went back to Lamont. We had to make a kennel for him. But now she wants to get rid of him because they amputated her foot. She's diabetic and she can't take care of it. So I'm hoping that animal control can do something in the Lamont area. There is so many Hispanics who don't understand that these dogs have to be neutered and spayed. The cats, there's cats everywhere. I just rescued two in the trash can. A little boy was coming from school, from Lamont School, and he called me and said, I just got two kitties, and I found them in the trash can in the park. And they're black and gray. Of course, they're not pretty. They're not white with blue eyes. So what do? They dump them in the trash can. And so we need something from animal control in Lamont, because Lamont is county. And see, what happens is that a lot of people in Lamont don't have transportation. So it's really hard for people, for residents who don't drive and have animals, all the way to Rosedale. We need at least maybe every third month that they can come and bring their truck and neuter some of those dogs and cats. That would really help the community. And Hispanics, they don't understand that those dogs need to be fixed. They think it's wonderful. They have litter after litter after litter, you know? And then they try to stand at the corner of Apple Market or Rite Aid, and they want to give you the dog. Or they want to sell it for you for $50. So we need help in the Lamont area. Okay?
Thank you. And keep coming, because we need to hear from you guys a little more often. So we're okay. Good.
Teresa, what did you say your last name was?
Maldonado.
Thank you.
Maldonado. Okay.
Did you guys have a SNPS outfit?
No.
It used to be with DCS.
Oh, maybe.
Sure.
Anybody else? You should contact your supervisor, which is Couch. I mean,
Couch has a mom.
Yeah. I don't know if you heard that. Okay. Because that's, you know.
That's who should be going to. Table 4, anybody else? Terry or anybody? Okay, no. And back row, Janice? No? Okay. What Danny brought up is a hot topic. We could talk about that for now. It's unfortunate, it really is. Okay, I'm going to go to the next item. Staff announcements or reports. Director's report, please.
Good evening, family. Nick Cohen, Director of Kern County Animal Services. Not to, beat a dead horse. I hate using that phrase as a director of animal services. But the other thing to worry about is, like, you know, the problem with the judicial system are vast. You know, they touch in a lot of different crimes than just animal control. I mean, there are domestic abuse suspects and child abuse suspects that don't get incarcerated on the first occurrence. You know, so and there are minimum sentencing requirements for certain crimes, and not only that, but like a lot of, and so I'm not an attorney, obviously. If you ask me about animals, I'll answer whatever I know about the judicial system is what I read in the papers and what I hear when I'm in the county administrative office. But a lot of the intent on a lot, especially first-time crimes, is diversionary, you know, that rehabilitate the person who committed the crime so that they don't commit it again, which there is a lot of truth to that, you know. But I still, for me, it goes back to, you know, do your elected officials reflect your values and the things that you prioritize? And if they don't, then that's why there's a democratic process in place. You know, I share your same concerns. It's a frustration that we've experienced now in my 16 years. You know, we do present cases that we feel have all the evidence, and you know, there's 5 years of probation and you know, minimal discomfort to the perpetrator, you know, and it's frustrating, it is. And you know, no matter how many cases we present, it doesn't really move the ball. It's whether or not the community has expressed it to an extent that somebody might lose an election about it, you know, and I think that's why it's important to just participate in local elections. And not only that, but be vocal to people that maybe don't know that there are elections that take place and that there are people that hold office that can reprioritize the things in their office that they're passionate about. I'll leave that one alone now. So the director's report, just before I get to the report, there's one important statistic that I wanted to point out. You can look at it two different ways. So from January 1st until October 31st, we saw over 7,700 animals, dogs and cats, that came into the county animal shelters, and we were able to find 6,123 live outcomes for those animals. That's 87.48%. But what is important to point out is the document that says intake and outcome data for the month of October. And if you look, out of 957 total dogs and cats, 127 of those were euthanized in county shelters. So we had an 84.5% save rate. It doesn't sound like much, a 3% drop in 1 month as opposed to a year, but we are seeing a lot of distemper in our shelter. I said it last month, and I think I said it the month before, City of Bakersfield is saying it as well. It's more important than ever to make sure that we're practicing vaccinations in our community, because we're seeing so many animals that, you know, Susan will tell you, that are presenting themselves with symptoms of illness, and then we're seeing so many animals that are presenting without symptoms and are testing for distemper. So we're seeing an increase in parvo too. And that is the real danger of parvo and distemper, specifically distemper, is when they're asymptomatic and they're not presenting with symptoms, because they're gonna be around other dogs that might have a suppressed immune system. And that's the real risk, is when you have an animal that's not displaying any symptoms and it's spreading distemper to other dogs. Just to touch on a few highlights after those lowlights. The month of October, we dump a lot of effort into foster care because it gets animals out of the facility quickly. 195 animals left for foster
in the month of October. Last I checked, it was about 92% of those animals that leave for foster end up being adopted permanently by their fosters. They usually intend for fostering to adopt. I'm going to touch on TNR here in a minute, but 264 cats were spayed and neutered in October. Almost 15,000 cats since 2013 in the TNR program. Somebody had mentioned last month they recognized that there wasn't a business manager up here, specifically Blake Smith, who's no longer with us. I mean, he's here, he's on the planet. He retired, and he used to give a spay neuter fund report. Somebody mentioned it, so I did. I will continue to, but I did pull some statistics for the spay neuter. We were appropriated $350,000 this year for spay neuter. That was as of July 1st. We couldn't really do anything with it until August, but so far we've expended $85,320. The majority of those funds, just to touch on the TNR, has gone into TNR. So $70,000 of that $85,000 was spent on TNR. And the majority of those TNRs are coming from the 93308 zip code, also 93314, but 1,171 cats just since the beginning of this fiscal year, so July 1st of 21 through today, have been altered, spayed and neutered through the department's TNR program. We did see a slight increase in the amount of folks coming through our vaccination clinics. We were able to issue 51 Parvo distemper vaccinations in October, 78 rabies vaccinations. Our rescue partners have helped us save 456 dogs year to date, 384 puppies. I hate that puppy number. 50 cats and 144 kittens year to date. Our field services returned 33 dogs to their owners and secured 78 dogs back on property just in the month of October, 1,144 total calls for service. In the month of October, we did have a sponsored adoption event sponsored by Assemblyman Vince Bong. I have here 110 dogs, but it was actually probably closer to 130. I won't get into why. But, Vince donated essentially $5,000 to animal services to make sure these animals got a home. A super successful event. Our pet food safety net program, I mentioned this a few times, probably not recently, but when the pandemic began, we applied for some grants and we reached out to a few organizations because we knew people were struggling just to make ends meet. We didn't want pet food to be a reason why they gave up on their animals. So we started a pet food program every Wednesday and every Sunday, starting in somewhere around July of 2020. Every Wednesday and every Sunday for 4 hours from 8 to noon, we would hand out food to the community, pet food to the community. There were some restrictions about how many times you can come, how many animals. But year to date, we've given out over 13,000 pounds of pet food to the community, hopefully so to prevent those animals from coming into the shelter. But it's important to note that actually the demand has slowed down enough so that our volunteers said, hey, we don't need to be here on Wednesdays, we can just do it on Sundays. So if you know people that are taking advantage of the Pet Food Safety Net program, it's only distributed on Sundays now between 8 and noon. 8 and noon, yes. Also wanted to touch on, we received a grant from the California Animal Welfare Funders Collaborative. I think it was $5,000 they granted our department. This was earlier in 2021. And we created a program that provides essentially free redemption. So if your animal comes into the facility, this grant program pays the fees for you to get your animal back. You have to agree to get the animal spayed or neutered. But it's a way that, because we don't want people's dogs and we don't want the redemption fees to prevent them from getting their dog back. So as long as it's a first in town, hasn't happened before, and they agree to get their animal spayed or neutered, we do have that program that provides free redemption. Last but not least, I did touch on last month, we're trying to create some new programs in the department and some new personnel to manage those programs. So we recruited, and we hired from within three animal care workers were promoted into three program technician positions. They start their new adventure. It's going to be quite an adventure for them, but they start their new adventure next week. I think November 23rd is the first day in that capacity, and they're going to be in charge of creating, developing, and managing programs that are intended to provide resources to the community to really prevent the animals from coming into our facility in the first place. So we have somebody that we've kind of come up with the term that's going to be kind of community engagement coordinator, somebody who's going to be responsible for bringing in volunteers, training volunteers, and applying those volunteers to some of the programs that we need to produce live outcomes, not only that, but to prevent animals from coming into the shelter. A resource coordinator that's going to be located in the shelter to develop and manage a program that's intended to catch those people that come in that need help, but that we don't have resources at the department level to help them. So an example of that is we've always hated when somebody comes in and, you know, they have an animal that they can't care for, or for some reason the animal's injured and they can't provide veterinary care. Somebody that's able to, instead of just saying we can't help you, please go speak to the resource coordinator, and we could sit them down and show them some of the resources in the community that might be able to help them keep their animal or get their animal whatever they need. And there's resources in the community that sometimes we don't know about or we forget about, and instead of just turning people away, it's this person's job to create and manage that program so that we're having these conversations with folks to figure out how we can help them instead of just turning them away. And that applies to the city too, and by that I mean if somebody comes in and they're a city resident and they need help, instead of just saying, I'm sorry, you're a city resident, sit them down and say, hey, these are some resources that can help you. Here's a number for the city of Bakersfield. Here's some resources that exist for city residents. So that, and then we also are going to have a live outcome coordinator who it's going to be simply their job, really, most of the time, to participate in off-site adoption events and engage with rescue organizations to find placement for really hard-to-place shelter pets. So we're really trying to adapt how we operate and the programs that we have so that we're more focused on preventing the animal from coming to our door in the first place. So I hope to come back to you in future meetings with some really good information on programs and how they're producing and some new offerings for the community. That concludes the director's report.
Okay. I'll start to my far right, Commissioner Christopher. Any questions? Okay. I want to say that for a person that crunches numbers every month, I like the new format, the graphics on how you're putting the information together. It's really clear for me to really come, and I like the percentages at the bottom. That way I don't have to do the percentages myself. So that makes it a whole lot easier for me. I like the graphics. And my question is since Blake isn't here anymore, does the TNR report talk about how much money was spent out in the month since the month came up today? Does it talk about that?
For cats?
For cats, in particular, yeah. Black cats.
34 cats were 34 cats were spayed and neutered out of the
34
area of the month.
Okay.
I've never heard of this group, the California Animal Welfare Funders Collaborative. Do you have somebody assigned to just finding grants? I guess I just be Blake. No, you just kind of. How do you find things like that?
It's just Sally and I.
It's
really a team effort. If Lisa's our shelter manager, she sees something, she'll bring it up. If Sally sees something, if Deputy Director Sally Breyer, she'll bring it up. It's kind of a collaboration.
So did you specifically apply for this one for that use, or did they?
We applied. We didn't really have an idea what we were going to use the funding for, but we just knew we wanted the program. We had been doing a similar program since last year that wasn't grant-funded. We just offered to folks for first-time impound, if you could pay $50 to get your dog back and you agreed to have him spayed or neutered, we would give you your dog back on first impound. It was successful. I mean, it cut down on revenue, which is not a good thing, but it was successful because we saw a lot of people taking advantage of that. And when this opportunity came up, we just figured, well, maybe we could do something with redemptions. It was a relatively small amount of money as far as grants go, $5,000. We had grants for almost 10 times that in the past, but we just figured it could help fill a niche, you know, a lot of the animals that folks can't afford to pay to get back. So.
No, I like it. Thank you.
Did you say how much the grant was?
$5,000.
Wasn't great. We're good. Commissioner Smith, any questions?
I just have one question on the lost in care. I mean, I've noticed that before, but like, does that just mean like, are people getting in the shelter and like running out with cash in their hands, or like?
Lost in care is usually it could be a number of different things. When we place an animal in foster care, the animal gets lost in foster care, lost in care. But also, if an animal, we don't take in too many cats, but if a cat comes to us and escapes, lost in care, and occasionally a dog will be in the kennel on Friday night, and Saturday morning we come in and it's not there anymore, and we're checking cameras. We have to go knock on Gina's door.
Yeah.
But it's a number of things.
All right. Yeah, that's all I have.
Okay, I'll go to the group first. Sandy, go ahead.
I actually have a couple of questions from the rescue point of view. So, if we want to come in and kind of get acquainted with the programs that you have, because you know we're all on the same lines and doing owner surrenders, and then street dogs. Like we just took in, we named her Sweet Pea, emaciated, completely emaciated tonight. Did not need another one, but here she is. But whether, I mean, like, what can we? Okay, who do we talk to first? You have a new. Is it a new person for the rescue? The rescue organizations and what you were talking about, that you have new people in the program and everything. Is it still Angela, or did she move?
So she's not going to be a rescue coordinator so much, but she will develop policy and procedure for the rescue program.
Okay.
It's Jessica. Her name is Jessica.
Oh.
She's currently working. But that she hasn't started in that capacity. She's got her hands full already.
Oh.
And I'm already dumping work on her.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean.
And she hasn't even taken a position yet.
Is that the resource manager position?
Well, it's tough for me to say that because the general county job is a program technician. They are program technicians. They technically administer programs. But the way we kind of configured their day-to-day responsibilities, we just figured, well, we need somebody to kind of collate all of the resources that are available in the community, in different organizations, and in our department, and try to figure out how to solve people's problems as they come in. And then we figured also we need somebody who can engage with the community to figure out on a street level how to prevent animals from coming to the facility and also recruit volunteers to help participate in that. And then we figured we need somebody that's kind of in charge to develop promotions for adoptions, off-site adoptions, rescue engagement, transport programs. So those are the three ideas that we figured. I haphazardly named them resource coordinator, community engagement coordinator, and live outcome coordinator. It's really just Jessica, Angela, and Berkeley. But as time passes, I'll speak more about those programs and those positions and the programs that they're managing. Maybe I'll even coax them here.
So the job starts on Monday then?
Tuesday.
Okay.
Yeah, it sounds like they got stacks of stuff to do.
Yeah, Kyle left there.
Okay, first table. You're finished? You have some more?
the reason I'm asking is because we try so hard to get people to keep their dogs. Mm-hmm. Number one reason is landlords. So I don't know if that's something that we can kind of like, that's a multifaceted problem. Mm-hmm. I totally get it. There are major excuses. It is, you know, insurance, whatever else. But I'd like to try to build that gap and kind of give them other other options instead of like, oh, no dogs. Well, you can't get other insurance policies. There's really good ones out there, too. You know, understanding what you're doing to that dog. That dog has to be removed from its family that it loves. The kids love this dog. They don't have to get rid of it. And then also, too, if that dog, if it gets to go to the shelter, which, I don't know, are you guys still taking owner surrenders, or are you doing the appointment thing, or?
My official answer is no, but we still take in, like, 80 owner surrenders a month. So.
Yeah. Well, and because a lot of times they go, oh, it's not my dog. Mm-hmm. We focus on owner surrenders because we know it's really hard for them. So that's kind of, you know, that's our main thing is owner surrenders. But
can you just touch on something you said, that moving to non-pet-friendly housing is a huge problem.
It is number one reason.
But just short of, we've always thought, well, what could we create, what program could we create that we have no resources to create, but what program could exist to help people that are relocating and don't have pet-friendly housing? And I think we even thought, well, it would even be nice if somebody comes to us and says, I need to give up my animal because I'm moving, instead of, again, I'm sorry, I can't help you.
Right.
Here's a list of pet-friendly housing in Kern County. Well, here are the numbers that you would contact, and these are some of the non-pet-friendly houses that maybe allow a pet deposit, and these are what the deposits are. Providing that information is step one.
Right.
Then maybe get into the point where you can build a program to say, maybe there's some grant funds to supply those pet deposits, or maybe we can create training programs to provide a good canine citizenship certificate and see if some of those agencies might be willing to even consider.
That's the stuff that we're going for, is exactly what you're saying, because the landlords are like, oh, no, but there are so many other options. And then also, and then in a roundabout way, the dog has to be spayed or neutered. It has to be licensed and current on vaccinations. And it should have some sort of, you know, sort of training or something like that. Those are things that helps a landlord go, okay, this is probably going to be a more responsible tenant with their pet. We have to bridge that gap somewhere, because it is the number one reason why these dogs are just, they're getting into other homes for that. So I really would like to do some things. It's too big for me to take on. I want to do stuff, I can't take it on, but I need somebody, you know.
We think about this all the time, that for good or for bad, the volume of people that come through our doors looking for help are probably far and away more than most other agencies see. They come to us for help, and right now there's really not much we can help them with. And not only that, but a lot of times it's, I'm sorry, I can't take your pet. Please go elsewhere. And again, starting out as simply and basically as we can to sit down and say, what is the problem? And how can I help you just for the list of resources that are available right now? Is it pet food? Is it training? Is it spay and neuter? Is it pet-friendly housing? Please at least tell me what the problem is.
Yeah.
And if I have a resource I can help, I'll provide it to you.
Yeah.
And if there's not, then I'm going to take a note that this is something that we need to create a solution for. So at least identifying that is the step.
I think that, like I said, number one is landlord, because we're moving to a place that won't allow them to keep a dog. Number two is training. Those are the two things that we have found, because I get, you know, dozens of messages every single day from people who can't keep their dog for one reason or another. And I do the same thing. I ask, why can't you keep your dog? And those are the two main reasons.
One more thing on that, too. And I touched on this last month, and sometimes I sound like a broken record. I get that. But the problem isn't necessarily easily addressed by the time they come to us.
Yeah, no, it's not.
So that's why a resource coordinator who can connect people with resources is a great idea, but being able to help them with those resources before they make that decision to come to you or me, that's where the money is.
Yeah, most of the time, people, when they do come to us, they're like, done. And we have to rebuild that and encourage them in a different direction, and a lot of times foot the bill, because they can't afford the training. You know, we're like, we just spent $3,000 on one dog for 1 month of training. We've got the second dog lined up to go in the same program, you know, for training. It's not cheap to do this stuff. And so, you know, they've already, like I said, they've lost their footing on their responsibility or their ownership for the dog, and they just don't want to do it. And their main thing is, can you just take it? No, we can't. We're going to help you keep that dog, though. So I would love to work with you guys on something like that at some point, just kind of finding a way to bridge that gap between the landlord and the tenant, because I think that's an important thing for our community. The other one is the Fix Your Pet program. Is it still going? Okay, because Brianna had shared it, and I was like, actually, I haven't heard, you know, if they're still doing it. I know that we're still bottled up with strangers. And then my last thing is just in regards to electing the officials, you know, that recognize our concerns. I think, for me, I've always hoped that it wasn't just us out here saying it. It wasn't just us saying, hey, you know, we're really concerned about this. I'll tell you who I've always wanted to be able to, you know, to hear is you, or with Julie, animal control officers coming in and saying, our job is really difficult. And, you know, I feel like you guys really can't speak up and say that. You know, there are reports. Yeah, but it's like, publicly, you do. You're really good about that. You keep things moving forward in a positive direction. And we're like the squeaky wheel over here, and I just would like to have it more of like together, a combined situation. Because I know you've got the way the world on your shoulders. Mine's a very small portion of it. Yours is a, you know, 50 times of what I have on there. So that's just kind of my thing. And we're always steered here. We're not steered to, like, if we go and sit down with our, you know, with Couch or whoever, they're like, okay, you know. And then they steer us to this committee. And this is all we have. We don't have anything else. So
just remember, at the end of the day, please believe me. And by you, I mean you. You have much more influence than I do. These people are elected. I have very little influence at the end of the day. My influence has to come sneaky. I have to put bugs in people's ears and beg and plead and have meetings and produce and show statistics that say we're trending in the right direction. You don't have to do that. You have a ballot. So why? I'm just saying, like, you believe it or not, you have more influence than I do in what those officials decide to do.
Okay. Was that something? Thank you. Okay, anybody else in the front row? Okay, second row, Michelle's room.
I actually have something to comment on something that Vice Chair Geary was saying before Nick started, if you want to come back after everyone's responded to Nick.
What did you want to talk about?
Well, when our friend in Lamont was walking away, Geary suggested to contact your supervisor, okay, which is now bouncing off what Sunny was saying.
Right.
And
that's
I
fine.
Do
Go
agree.
Ahead.
I have spoken with every supervisor about animal issues at one point, and I just, when I first came to this commission meeting, like all hot and bothered and ready to go, mm-hmm, and I was told by someone up there, you can't just come here once. And I didn't. I made a commitment. And unless I happen to be sick, I've come to every meeting because I value it. I think it's important. And I get torn because everyone will send, oh, you need to go to the supervisors. And I'm like, well, I've gone to the supervisors, and all they do is direct it to Nick. So it's like this huge circle. And I know that all you are up there appointed by a supervisor, and what I wanted to say, which I've always thought, is you're our bridge to them. And why I didn't respond earlier is because I wanted to verify it with myself first, and that's one of the responsibilities of our code for Animal Commission, is to review and investigate citizens' complaints, and if find appropriate, recommend to the Board of Supervisors what they talk about. And I'm not going to accuse anyone of not talking to their supervisors, because I'm sure all of you send emails, whether they're responded to or not, is not in your hands. But I want to know that is something I expect, because I do want to value this commission, and I do want to keep coming to these meetings, and I think it's important that we know that you communicate with them. Otherwise, to us, it is falling on deaf ears over and over. Come to Nick, go here. Go to them, come here. And it's like we don't know if anyone really cares. We know that you listen. But I do, when I see it as a responsibility of yours, I'd like to know. I'd like to know if you ever tell them something that we say and that they do respond. I hope that you bring it to us one day and let us know what you heard. Because I feel like that would make us feel a little bit better. Sorry that went into your thing, but I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was saying before I spoke.
Do you have a question about the director's report?
No.
So we'll make it a point to 2022. Bringing stuff back to you.
Is it 2022?
Yeah.
We all have contact with our appropriate supervisor. I know I do. The rest of them do too. So, okay. We're at table two, and Susan, nothing. Okay. Table three, Danny's row.
I have a hypothetical question based on what Sunday was talking about. I don't even know if this is possible. Would there ever be a hypothetical situation, let's just say, you know, the shelter found like a certain portion of property where they're like, hey, you know what, we could set up like maybe like 15 kennels in this little corner of the shelter, but those could be reserved for as like a temporary boarding row where members of the public could, like, you know, pay whatever fee it is per day or per week for temporary boarding for them, with the agreement that at, you know, this certain time that they would come redeem their pets. I'm just thinking of a situation that I saw a neighbor in recently, to where it's like, yeah, I'm about to move into this place, you know, but it's not until 2 weeks, and I'm looking for some place to keep my dog, you know, whatever. It seemed, I mean, there's a million different situations, but like that. But I was just thinking of a situation like that, or somebody that's in transition or whatever. If there was hypothetically a way for some sort of boarding option, whether at the shelter or off-site, where it would be kind of like different, and it would almost be like a business endeavor of like, yeah, we have it, it's not for the public, you want to pay for it, you know, but that service is available to you. Is that even within the realm of possibility, given, you know, the...
How does this relate to the director's report?
No, I'll answer your question.
I think anything's
possible. I mean, if, you know, I'm going to answer your question.
Yeah.
Primarily, we're an animal shelter, and animal shelters exist to care for stray and lost animals. You know, we're a rabies control organization, not a boarding facility. And actually, we've said that to people a lot of times. I won't get into it, but sometimes people want to leave their dogs with us for longer than they need to because they're going on vacation. Mm-hmm. We're not a boarding facility. But I think the thing to keep in mind, there's been other organizations that have had very successful foster programs that do provide temporary placement for people in transition. I think for me, for the director of the animal shelter, and for a guy who's been the shelter supervisor before, you know, a dog shouldn't have to stay in a kennel for 24 hours a day, or even 22 hours a day. You know, I struggle with those two things, is that I know that somebody's in transition and they have no place else for their dog, but is that animal better off staying in a 6x4 kennel for 22 hours a day? I don't know. You know, I the lives of the animals in the shelter, they keep me up at night, you know, and we struggle just to get them out of their own kennels every day. And it's tough for me to say that, that that's a better place. You know, I think that there's definitely some room there for some foster-based programs that provide that kind of same thing. It's a struggle to get there because foster families are hard to come by. And when you have, you know, I think we have like 185 dogs out in foster right now, it's tough to tap into more.
Oh, yeah, and just to clarify, my thought was that whatever, you know, staffing or supplies or whatever, that would be, so that would not come out of like, you know, from the city, that would be like a business endeavor where the people that took advantage of the services would be providing the funding for said services that would be appropriate for a dog that needed to be, you know.
And it's not the same, but it's akin to, we have 10 kennels at the Bakersfield Homeless, not the Bakersfield Homeless Center, the Low Barrier Navigation Center, the one on N Street.
Golden State?
N Street, off of Golden State. And we send a staff member out there every day who cares for homeless folks' pets that are staying at the facility. That's not an animal shelter, but we have kennels there, and we have enrichment equipment, and our staff goes out there and feeds and cares and vaccinates. So something along those lines, absolutely. But I, you know, I struggle just keeping us afloat, let alone trying to create a new program that provides. It's definitely a need. Affordable boarding facilities for people in transition, it's definitely a need. But what I've seen most often, organizations develop a foster-based program to provide that for a number of different reasons. But if you're willing to fork out the bucks and develop your own Danny Spanks boarding facility, I would support it. But I get what you're saying. It, you know, it's another one of those things of how do we solve a problem that is forcing people to give up on their pets. And you know, I think it's worthwhile to continue to look into. I don't know that more kennel space is the answer to that, to be honest with you. If we had more kennel space, we would keep more animals for longer in the shelter. But yeah, I appreciate the input.
Okay. Anybody else on table 3? Okay. Table 4, Terry's table. Any comments? Janice, your table? Nothing? Not even one comment? Okay. All right.
Comments, just about the report.
You're absolutely right. I need a motion to receive and file this report. Okay.
Awesome.
excellent. So we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Thank you. Old business, none. Commissioner's announcements. I'll start with Neil. My announcement is, as I mentioned the Sunday last month, that I want to do a ride along. And I want someone else to join us. Maybe Neil could come along.
Yeah.
Ride a shotgun. School gets out for me the first week in December, so like I've got a couple weeks there that I've got some time. So I want you to email me.
Yeah. I went out of state for a little bit.
You what?
I went out of state for a little vacation.
That's not allowed. Okay. Just see, you got my card, you have my email address, so let's do it.
Yeah.
And
I've been collecting information too as far as like where the hot spots are. So I'm just driving around looking for dogs, but like specific to make the use of them.
Okay, I've got the binder. So okay. What's your tag? Okay, Christopher. Okay. Old business, staff referrals, none. Just a little bit, well, okay, update on AKC Reunite. Janice, I hope. Sorry, we're not
going to. Hang
on. We'll put you in the front row next time.
Yeah. It's for way too long. Greetings all, Janice Anderson here. Update on the report for the AKC disaster trailers. The Gainesville Obedience Training Club had a match, or actually a trial, last month, and I know just they had like a jar out or something and got about $300 in donations towards the trailers. Since it is year end, and I was sick all last month, we are now sending letters out to corporations for donations. It's end of year, and then going into the new year, they can facilitate for the following year. So we've already had some response. Joan's been assisting, and so that's going to be our next focus, is corporate sponsorship to get the funds necessary to finalize this.
Of course, this is the quarter where they should be doing those kinds
exactly.
of
things. Exactly. So it's prime time.
When they do their tax planning.
Right, so we have a letter that's done. If anybody has anybody that they would like to submit it to, contact me, and I'll email you a copy of the letter, print that sucker out, and give it to the folks.
Is ERA and Chevron on your mailing list?
They are on my mailing list. Right, I'm not sure if I still have the right people, because it's like I ran into a guy yesterday that I knew, and he goes, "I just retired." I'm like, wrong answer. So, you know, we may have to, you know, update our lists and make sure that we're getting to the right people. But ultimately, yeah. We have anybody that wants to help get the word out. We've got a letter. All you got to do is pop in the mail or hand it to whomever you might know, and you know, any corporation or a business, and see where it goes. Yes, ma'am.
What trailers? I'm sorry.
It's the AKC American Kennel Club has a program where they have disaster trailers that they supply. They have a grant in place, and so a community can request a trailer. And it facilitates, I think, around, there's enough stuff in there to help assist anywhere from 50 to 75 animals, depending upon the size of the animals that you're dealing with. And the commitment is that their grant is $12,000. The total cost of the trailers is
$24,000.
Or theirs is $10,000, and the community's is $12,000. It's a $22,000 trailer. And so we received grants as a community for two, and so now it's our job to raise the funds, along with Bakersfield Obedience Training Club and Kern County Kennel Club, who are the local sponsors for the trailers. And so we need all the help we can get in getting funds so that we can reach that goal and get those trailers here and on site for our next go-around for whatever disaster it is that we may face, whether it's fire, flood, earthquake, whatever.
Can I just point out that the trailers go to me?
Like, yeah,
we get them.
They're owned by Animal Services, and once they are given to Animal Services, it's Animal Services' responsibility to maintain them after use. but they come with everything. I mean, they've got crates in there, food bowls, identification. They've got a whole office where you can identify the animals, and it's a pretty neat setup, and they've got them all over the country. We have, I believe, Ventura has two. San Diego has, I think, two or three. So some of the surrounding areas have it, and also we had some inquiries because I had gone to the Antelope Valley Kennel Club, which is part Kern County, part L.A. County, and they were concerned if we had those trailers, would they be available? And there's a special agreement between counties. What's it called, Nick?
It's not an MOU, it is a mutual aid.
Yeah, so ultimately we can assist surrounding communities and they can also assist us should they have something like that. So it's a good thing not just for us, but for everybody around us. And our goal, I believe, because we already have one that's in possession at Animal Services, and so we have these two and they'll go to the mountain communities. Yes, ma'am?
Can you ask, I know this is not the best question, but...
there are no stupid questions.
Okay. Would they be used only for like emergency services, or could they be used for like spay and neuter? I mean, if they're outfitted with the crates and that.
That would be up to our illustrious director to determine the use.
Yes, we could use them.
Yes. Because they're big, right?
They're huge. Yeah.
But and just to be completely forthcoming, like this is something that. Aside from the Reunite program, like we've been trying to procure enough emergency response trailers, because what happens in our community is that there are very fire-prone outlying communities. You know, the mountain communities, LeBec and Fraser Park, you know, even Taft and Maricopa, and then there's Tehachapi that's at risk of fire, Bear Mountain. You know, there's so many different areas, and when a fire hits or some other disaster like a flood, a lot of times we can't make it out with supplies to that area. So the idea was always to have enough centrally located disaster response trailers so that the emergency response staff goes out to that area, takes advantage of the cache, the trailers, and they have all the supplies that they need.
Right.
The most recent fire we had, which was the French fire, we were smart enough. Most of the time we're not very smart, but we were smart enough that we had received a donation from the Veterinary Medical Association of two sea trains stocked with pet crates. And we put one at the Lake Isabella Animal Shelter, and we kept one in Bakersfield. And what happened was the French fire hit. I couldn't get supplies out there, and I myself had to go find where this thing was dumped because I couldn't remember where we put it, try to remember the combination to the thing, and then we made use of those, and thank God we did, because we ended up caring for 60 animals for a period of 2 weeks, and that's the same thing that we're talking about, is to locate supplies in strategically in areas that are prone to disasters. So that's what that is.
So I'm trying to picture this trailer. I know what our group CCAT has. This sounds like it's going to be like the beast that he has.
It's not quite that big,
no.
I think. Yours is what, 30 feet long?
It seems like it. 28 feet.
28? I think these are either 24 or 22. I think they're 24 feet long. So a little bit smaller than what Nick has.
Okay, and then I don't know if it would fit with fundraising for you, but like the Give Big Kern.
Mm-hmm.
Have you looked into doing
that? I have, actually. I did contact
them. It's very complicated, but
it is.
I think it's well worth it
yeah.
for what you're doing. I stopped. I didn't.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know.
Yeah, there's some grants and stuff out there that I've, you know, come across that, you know, might be beneficial as well. So whatever resources we could find to get the funds in there so we can get it all handled. And the money doesn't... the donations don't go to Animal Services. They go direct to AKC, and they have to be earmarked for the Kern County trailers. And so we have forms for that where people can just, you know, do it online or whatever. And that keeps them from having to worry about it. You know, and then we've got, as I said, DOTC and Kern County Kennel Club that have fundraisers at their various events where they bring monies in as well. So.
And the Bakersfield, California, Alfred Harold Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've tapped into that one.
No, I haven't yet.
There's,
so,
yeah, we've got money from them, so.
Cool.
You might want to look into
okay.
them.
Definitely.
It's been a while, so it's your turn.
Your turn.
Okay, so you did make the point they're $22,000 each, right? And now is this
correct?
Is this a matching of funds that if we bring in?
We have per trailer. We have to, as a community, raise $12,000 per trailer. So
if we bring in 12, they match it.
They've already got the 10 has already been. We've already received the grants for the 10,000.
You've already got it, but it's in limbo until we get
exactly. We have to get the funds to them, and then as soon as they get the funds, and they won't wait. If we come up with the 12,000 for one trailer, they'll get it done and they'll send it. They won't hold it waiting for the second trailer. So we'll get the trailers as the funds are completed.
Is there an expiration date on this
all? Not at all. They'll sit on it, and if there comes a point where we said, screw it, we don't want to do this anymore, then the money would just go into a general fund towards trailers for other communities.
Okay.
But I told them specifically, don't even think about it.
We've only had a couple of fires, this year.
We've been very fortunate the last couple of years, I have to say.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
And so we might not think about, being prepared for a disaster, but we need to be prepared.
Yes, absolutely.
Can I point something out, Commissioner Blackburn?
Yes, you may.
We may have only had a couple of fires here in Kern County, but your director has served significant time in Northern California fighting fires beyond Kern County, so these trailers could help those communities as well.
Right.
That would be your call. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Can you offer corporate, you're seeking corporate sponsorship.
Yeah.
Is the trailer going to be wrapped? Is this something?
Yes, absolutely. And that's the nice thing about it is that there are, the AKC has like levels. So both the sponsoring clubs, BOTC and KCKC, have to bring in a minimum of $2,000 per organization in order to have their names on the trailers.
Oh, okay.
And so they have a whole thing where, for $1,000 you get this much, for $2,500 you get this much. So yes, it'll be great to have it littered with corporate sponsors. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That'd be great.
To show how much our community gives a darn about it and,
Well, you see these billboards, these 5K runs, and KGET and Chevron and
right.
other big names.
Exactly.
They should jump on board with this too.
They need to, and I have to, I have to admit that, I've got a lot of irons in the fire, and so, it's been difficult, trying to do this, that, and the other thing, but I'm still on it. I haven't forgotten about it. I'm working on it, and we're getting the info out there so that hopefully we can get the funds in.
Okay.
So any help that anybody can throw my way? I won't say no.
I'm just curious where we're at on the 12,000.
I think we're up around 3,500.
Okay.
I sent her an email this morning, but because I'm a last minute Nelly, but I haven't heard back from her. So I think we're up around 3,500.
All right.
So.
Thank you for that in-depth update. We've been waiting for this for a few months.
I know. I'm all sorry. I was sick. I couldn't come. I couldn't even talk. I still can't hear. My ears are still plugged. So.
We're glad you're here, though.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. Thanks
all
very
right.
much. Director Coley, maybe on the hot seat again. Status on ordinance subcommittee revisions? Any comments on that?
I don't have anything significant to report. Council Bradley and I continue to work to present something to this commission. I would love to say that I'll have something finalized by January. The problem is that Council Bradley retires in December, so I don't know who's going to be our new council rep, but there may be some transition taking place in January, and I'm going to need some assistance from somebody from council's office to finish what needs to be done. I did have a very brief conversation through email with Chrissy about where we are right now and the last thing Jerry and I worked on. So if it's Chrissy, then we'll get started. If it's somebody else, then I'll work to get something before you in January.
We want to be Chrissy.
Well, I have no control over that.
I know.
Or maybe.
Great.
Maybe.
Thank you for that short update. I appreciate getting one.
I think we need a vote on the next thing.
Yeah, that was my next thing. So I'm just waiting to make sure I can move on. So new business. Here's the new business. We need to vote on going dark next month. I'm not sure if we vote on it or we already talked about it.
Someone needs to make a motion.
Okay.
First, second, the whole deal.
right?
So we need a motion.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to go back in December.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. That's kind of our tradition. So our next,
January 19th.
January 19th, yeah. So our next meeting will be January 19th, 2022. And so the next item, the last item, is adjournment. So wish everybody happy holidays, happy new year, better year than this year, I hope. Anyway, happy holidays to everybody. See you all next year.
I would say, can you make a motion for the adjournment? Yeah. Thank you.